If you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, we have good news for you. We produced an audio DVD of the conference. The recording contains all of the speakers' presentations, my Divine Service sermon, and the hymn sing. We'll send you the audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Order your audio DVD of the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Up through endless ranks of angels, cries of triumph in his ears, to his heavenly throne ascending, having vanquished all their fears, Christ looks down upon his faithful, leaving them in happy tears.
That's the first stanza of the hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. It's about Jesus' ascension into heaven. This is the last thing that Jesus does here during his earthly ministry. It's like you might be tempted to believe he's gone back to heaven to kind of just sit around and wait until the end of all things. But that is certainly not the picture that Scripture paints of Christ's ascension, nor of how he reigns until he comes again. We are given this simple, basic New Testament creed: Jesus is Lord. No man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It was what the Apostle Paul tells us. But what kind of a Lord is Jesus? The idea of a Lord may seem archaic to us. It certainly didn't in the first century. But Jesus is not any kind of Lord that we would come up with. He's a Lord all his own. We'll be talking about that with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, July the 20th, looking at Acts chapter 1, the Acts account of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
First of all, let's talk about Jesus as Lord. When that term is applied to Jesus, even when Jesus applies it to himself, but when that term is applied to Jesus in the New Testament, it doesn't mean what we think it means in the first instance. What kind of a Lord is Jesus?
Let me ask you what you think most people think it means.
Well, I think most people think that he is kind of the lording it over kind of a Lord. He's your boss.
Yes, but well said. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word for God is Lord, and if you look at the King James or other Bibles, every letter is capitalized because it's the Hebrew word Yahweh that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. But the people were so afraid of taking the name of the Lord they got in vain that they would instead, when they saw those consonants, they would put the vowels over it for another word called Adonai, which means the Lord of the manor, or as you are saying, one who lords over others. But when the Bible talks about Jesus as Lord, it is referring to him as God. In fact, that is his name. A number of times, Jesus as Lord is the one to be worshipped. And of course, we know only that God is to be worshipped. So what the Sunday school lesson has done, the first four lessons that we did this summer dealt with God the Father. And there was God the Father who made us, Creator, God who makes the angels, he rescues us, he cares for us, the widow at Zarephath, and then he protects and rescues us. And that was the rescue of Israel. Now, in the next five lessons that we've looked at, you've helped us through the first one about Jesus as true man. We talked about his birth. As true God, he rebuked the storm. As Savior, where he suffered, died, and rose. And for lesson 8 then during the summer, Jesus is our Lord, the CPH material has chosen to talk about his ascension into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. And it's very clear in the ascension accounts that Jesus also is Lord in the sense of God.
So at the end of that section in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, we ought to hear that screaming loud and clear that Jesus is Yahweh, the God of the Old, revealed in the Old Testament.
Yes, that's what he himself says very clearly. And the best chapter to look at Jesus' ascension, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about this, would be Revelation chapter 5, where once Jesus appears on the scene as the ascended Lamb, then whatever the angels and the elders sang in praise to God the Father, they now sing in praise to God the Son, including worship of him. So it is very clear that Jesus, as Lord, is not one who lords over us. In fact, he's our servant. He's one who instead is to be known as God.
So take us into that idea of Jesus, who is Lord by way of being our servant.
Yes. Jesus himself talks about that we need to serve one another as he has served us. And of course, every time we talk like this, we need to go to a Bible passage. And the Bible passage I will take a look at is Philippians chapter 2, where it's very clear there, where Jesus says that he is Lord over us in the sense that he is also our servant, and that we are to serve one another as he did us. In fact, it's very clear in that Philippians passage where it talks that his interest was not his own, but his interest was ours. And therefore, and this is where I'm reading here, is Philippians 2, verse 5 and following, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he wasn't the big shot. Instead, it says he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And there that word is also slave. Why? Well, verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. To whom was he humble? To the Father's will, as the Holy Trinity had from before the foundation of the world made a promise that the second person of the Trinity would take upon himself the sins of the world. And after that death, then God has highly exalted him. This is where we get the two states of Jesus Christ, his humiliation and his exaltation.
So what's the connection then to Jesus' ascension into heaven as it's recounted there in Acts chapter 1?
The ascension into heaven is, again, a fulfillment of a promise. It's found in John where Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he says, though I will be gone, he says, I will also return to you. Now, the primary historical readings are from Acts chapter 1 and Luke 24. We believe they're both written by Luke because both Acts and Luke are written to a man named Theophilus. We believe some Gentile or Greek individual who was learning through adult instruction about the teachings of the church. And we do get a little bit of difference between Acts 1 and Luke 24 in two areas. The one area is, how does Jesus leave? Well, the one area says that he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. That's Acts 1:9. Well, Luke 24 says he departed from them and was carried up into heaven while he blessed them. Now, when the angel said that Jesus will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven, most people think that the angel's talking about that he comes physically back. And there is some truth to that, that he is now invisible, but on Judgment Day, as Job says, every eye will see him, even his own eye of flesh. And how is he going to be coming back? I think, and this is a good point that the CPH material makes, that he comes back in the way he left them, in that he was blessing them. Luke 24, verse 50. And Luke 24, 51 says, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So I now have had my mind changed that Jesus coming back is not only that he will be visible, but that he will be bringing the blessings of heaven back to the sheep that are found in Matthew 25.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on this Monday afternoon from Acts chapter 1, Jesus' ascension into heaven, as we confess Jesus as Lord. We'll be right back.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. IssuesETC.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus' Ascension into Heaven, in Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 1. Pastor Baker, let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned in passing before, and that is the fact that Jesus has ascended into heaven. We do confess that he sits at the right hand of God, But we hear Jesus say in Matthew's account of the ascension, I am with you always. And, of course, the disciples certainly go away rejoicing. It's kind of hard to believe they'd rejoice if they'd just seen their dear master leave for good. Oh, we're going to have to wait thousands of years for him to return. They rejoice because Jesus apparently has, although he has ascended into heaven and is hidden from their sight, has not left them. How do we reconcile those things?
Excellent question, and it's a fun one I like to use when I do seminars around the country. I ask the question, where is Jesus now? And almost everybody answers, he's at the right hand of God. And when will he return to us, I say, on Judgment Day? And then I bring up the verse you use. Well, what does it mean that he's with you always to the end of the age? And then they're kind of confused. And here is the answer to that, that I really think is correct. It's found in the Bible. Remember, Scripture has to interpret Scripture. It's in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And now listen to verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I really don't believe that even many Lutherans realize that we are already at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. How is that possible? Because we are part of the body of Christ, but he is the head. Now, wherever the head is, so also is the rest of the body. So in Christ Jesus, we are therefore at the right hand of God already. It's a reason we don't have to pray to Mary or anybody else on earth who's dead in the grave in order to get to the Father, because we're already with Jesus. Now, Jesus being the head, therefore, not only means that the body is with a head, but the head is with a body. So yesterday, just prior to our worship service, we always have a little prayer the pastors do. And my prayer is somewhat consistent in that I pray that the people will recognize that the true shepherd of this flock leading them in worship is not the under-shepherds that are out there, namely the pastors, but Jesus himself leading us in worship. As we begin the worship service, reminding ourselves of the baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son, reminding ourselves of being a sinful individual and therefore worthy to come because of the absolution. It is Jesus who is running the verbs in the worship service. That's how he is with us, even though he is at the right hand of God, which in Christ we are also.
I mean, there's really no contradiction. You mentioned before the kind of the context for this conversation today is that Jesus is both God and man.
Yes.
And as both God and man, he can be as both God and man with us because he now, you mentioned before his state of humiliation and his exaltation. In his exaltation, he can, as the old theologians used to say, all the attributes of his divinity are now fully communicated to his humanity.
See, that's a big difference with his humiliation. In his humiliation as a human being, he did not know all things. He was not omniscient. He was not all-powerful. But in his ascended state, and that's why Philippians talks about being exalted, he now in his humanity knows all things. In his humanity is all-powerful. And also, in his humanity, he is everywhere. So there is no place in the entire universe or any of the dimensions of that, including heaven itself, where Jesus is not. And that's why he says that I am with you always to the end of the age. That's, by the way, Matthew 28, verse 20.
These two things come together, Jesus as Lord who is servant of all, and Jesus who is Lord who fills all time and space. In the Lord's Supper, talk about that.
In the Lord's Supper, what we have is not just bread and wine, but Jesus himself says, this is my body, this is my blood. Because we believe, as the Bible teaches, that the humanity and the divinity is not separated in locality, that is, some of the Reformed believe that Jesus' humanity is at the right hand of God, and therefore he is not everywhere. We don't agree with that. He is everywhere. So that being everywhere, we should never doubt that his true body and his true blood are in, with, and under the bread and the wine. In the very same way that Jesus himself appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 3 in the burning bush. Jesus was not a burning bush, but he was in, with, and under that bush. I presume had Moses been there the day before, it would have been a regular bush. And had he come the day after, since it had not burned up, it would still be there. But it was no longer, shall we say, a sacramental bush where the presence of God was there in a special way. But when it was burning and Jesus was in, with, and under that bush, Moses had to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. And Chemnitz, a great reformer of the Lutheran Reformation after Luther's death, gave a number of other times that this happens, with God in the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire during the night going through the wilderness in the Holy of Holies. He has a number of them, including the Holy Spirit appearing in the form of a dove at the baptism of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not a bird with feathers, but he had taken himself up in the presence of a dove at that time.
Now, let's return to this notion. We talked earlier about Jesus as Lord, a kind of peculiar kind of Lord to our way of thinking. But at the right hand of God, we are told that he rules and governs all things. He, in fact, the Apostle Paul will talk about Jesus reigning until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's in 1 Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken. What kind of a rule and reign does Christ exercise now exalted to the right hand of the Father?
I consider two rules and reigns. In fact, I preached at the International Center today and spoke about this. He rules by the law in bringing judgment against sin. And that judgment is just not judgment day, but he allows the consequences of sin to come to unbelievers to wake them up to the condition they truly are in. So he rules even over unbelievers in that way. But for Christians, for we also suffer in this world, our suffering is quite different. It is always a blessing, because Jesus has a promise to our suffering that all things will work together for our good. And just reading the Bible, you can see that the suffering comes for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons it comes, as it did to Paul with the thorn in the flesh three times he tried to get rid of, and God said no, and Paul realized it was to keep him humble. Paul was a fellow who, if you fell asleep and fell to your death during his sermon, he went outside and raised them from the dead. That could give you a pretty big head, unless you had this thorn in the flesh that you couldn't take care of. Another reason God allows suffering, as he did to the man born blind in John chapter 9, is to show how wonderful God is. And I'm sure that the blind man was not complaining about his years of blindness when he came to sight, and particularly when he realized that Jesus was the Messiah once Jesus made that confession.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. When we come back from this break, it's 10 more minutes with him, teaching the Sunday school lesson on Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Jesus into heaven, his rule, and then we'll talk about the church's continual prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. It is shortened at the end of the New Testament scriptures. Come, Lord Jesus, and Christ's return in glory. On the other side of the break with Pastor Tom Baker, he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who rightly seek us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Window Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we talk Sunday school, there's really no better resource that I can recommend to you than Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. That's the highest accolade I give to anything, and it's well-deserved when it comes to the Sunday school curriculum. You'll see how, especially in these times when it's teaching the creedal faith, that is, the things that the church confesses of Christ from Holy Scripture, that it is especially focused on Christ and his saving work. And it does the same thing for the Sunday school lessons when they are the other narratives of Scripture, Old and New Testament. You can find out more about growing in Christ at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of the curriculum. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, the church prays two things. They're actually the same prayer, but two different forms. In the Lord's Prayer, we're instructed to pray, Thy kingdom come. And that kind of has that dual focus also that we find here in Christ's ascension, that he is still here, he's still coming to us, and he will come again at the end. And the church also prays, Come, Lord Jesus. Talk about those prayers that are the church makes in the time of Christ's exaltation.
Yes. The Lord's Prayer, when it talks about that thy kingdom come, it's referring to the kingdom Jesus is talking about, that he speaks at the beginning of his ministry, that he is bringing a new kingdom in, where Jeremiah quoted about it, your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit will be in your heart, your body will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom we pray that God will bring into the world today, so that individual human beings will become members of the kingdom of God in their hearts by trusting the promises of the gospel. But I would suggest that in the Revelation 22:20 passage, where he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The question I would ask is, if Jesus is already here, as we've already pointed out, because he's doing all kinds of things on earth right now, what do we mean that he is to come? that doesn't seem to make any sense. But it does make sense when you take a look at the Greek word for the word come. It normally means to go from one place to another. So some people think come Lord Jesus means to come from heaven down to earth. But he's already with us on earth because he's omnipresent. But the word come here has another meaning. It also is used to talk about something appearing, making one's appearance, or showing oneself. And we get back to the ascension accounts in both Luke and Acts, where what is the manner in which Jesus left the disciples? He disappeared from their sight. He is now invisible. So I believe that when the writer says, surely I come quickly, and he says, come, Lord Jesus, he's asking him to fulfill the promise of the angel that Jesus will come again in the same way that he left, namely as a visible human being, both God and man, with his hands outstretched to give a blessing to those who trust in him.
Now, that's a picture of Christ's return in glory. Often it is painted in terrifying terms, and of course Scripture does talk about the day of the Lord being a day of wrath and deep gloom. It's actually both. It is a fearful prospect for an unbelieving world.
Yes.
And an anxiously awaited blessing, as you have said here several times, for Christ's little flock here on earth. Talk about that.
Yeah, that photo cannot be better understood, again, Scripture interprets Scripture, than with Matthew 25. God just does not bring the elect into his presence, but he brings the sheep, the elect, and the goats. And remember, he says to the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed. Why are they cursed? Because they're sinners? No, because they volunteered to take upon themselves the punishment of their own sin rather than rely on Jesus and his promise that he has forgiven them. So they get their wish, but they will soon find, as will the devil, that that is a horrible place to be in, namely hell itself, because of the refusal to trust in the promises of a God.
So, is it something that the church has any reason to fear at all, like the world?
No. No, we do not fear Judgment Day. And in fact, in the sermon I gave at chapel today, I started off asking, is the law good news or is the gospel good news? And the point of my sermon was both are good news. And of course, there weren't many people who agreed with me, but only the gospel is good news for salvation, but the law can be good news for those who are living an immoral life here on earth without repentance, because it wakes them up to their true condition, where we then have the opportunity as Christians, when they ask, who can help me? How can I be saved? Then we deliver them the gospel. So my point was, we need to be waiting for those who are living in immorality these days, when the judgment of God will come upon them, because it will, he promises that, and we are therefore ready with the good news of the gospel. It's kind of like going to a doctor or a dentist, and you find out you have a cavity. Well, that's good news, because he can fix it, and you won't lose a tooth. It's not good news to hear it, but it's good news in its purpose, in waking us up to the fact that we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
So what does the church do in this time of Christ's exaltation, awaiting his reappearance?
What the church needs to do, in my opinion, is once more to follow the Word of God. And I'll tell you, one of the best verses there is in the Bible is Hebrews 12:11. When these people who are now living in immorality feel the judgment of God, what is going to happen is what Hebrews 12:11 says. For the moment, all discipline or judgment seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In other words, God allows judgment to come to us as Christians to move us to repentance, and to unbelievers to help them see their true condition, so that when they say, "Where can I find comfort?" the Christian witness is ready to be told.
Well, that leads us to the law and gospel of this particular lesson for the Sunday school kids. How would you describe that with about a minute here, Tom?
I would say that the law is, and it appears this way, that Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's abandoned me, and therefore we feel alone. But as you so well helped us see, Todd, even though he is at the right hand of God, that right hand of God is everywhere where God is in his grace, so that Jesus is always with me. And therefore, there are countless promises we can cling to, such as, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No judgment, no temptation comes to you beyond your power to endure." And the 200 to 300 promises are for those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the return of Jesus and a parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Folks, we plan on mailing out the audio DVD from the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference next week. Now, this audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and a little bit of singing as well. It features Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Jonathan Fisk, Chris Rosebro, Pastor Will Whedon, and others. We'll send it to non-conference attendees, if you didn't go to the conference this summer, for a contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. You can pre-order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember to write conference audio DVD in the memo line of your check. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also pre-order online. Just click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference audio DVD, mailing it out at the end of next week. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the role of God's law in the Christian's life. Drs. Ken Sherb and Scott Murray will be our guest for an extended conversation. This is all about the promises. This is all about Jesus keeping the promises made by him and of him when he takes on human flesh, when he humbles himself in the form of a servant, becomes obedient even unto death. This is the promise that he would, God, as God and man, come and for our sake bear the humiliation of our sin at the cross, obedient even to death on the cross. And what does Paul say? "Also in keeping with the promise, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And the only promise left to keep is that he will come again." I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Baltimore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.